to try to share this tonight. Philippians chapter 4, I want to read verse number 1. And then after we read our opening text, we'll be moving on into Philippians chapter 4 a little bit further. Appreciate everyone that's come to be in God's house tonight. Appreciate all the testimonies. Appreciate the worship of a holy God. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Amen. You can be seated again tonight. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Title of the message tonight, and you won't realize this nor understand this till I get to the very end of this message tonight, should the Lord Jesus Christ tarry. Amen. Strike a match. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And then he begins to go through this sharing of this common knowledge and this encouragement to the church of what it is to stand fast. To stand fast. And really the gist of this message tonight, the what I'm really after is perseverance. Perseverance, tenacity, bulldog hold, perseverance. Perseverance is persistence in anything undertaken, continued pursuit or prosecution of any business or enterprise begun, and it can be applied both to good and evil, but we are after good. To persevere is to continue in a course of action even in the face of difficulty or with little or no prospect of success. Whoa. Mm-hmm. Whoa. This is rough for the number crunchers, so to speak. How many you got coming to church? Well, it's not a matter of how many we got coming. How strong are the ones you got? Woo. Hallelujah. In other words, to persevere with little or no prospect of success. To persist in a state enterprise undertaking in spite of counter influences, opposition, or discouragement. Whoa. Perseverance. Pressing on, pressing forward. Not looking at results because they may not come for a long time. But persevere. 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 Hallelujah. Persist. Job 23 and 11. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Woo. Perseverance. Job. The trial of Job. We always call it the patience of Job, but let's call it tonight the perseverance of Job. Hallelujah. Though God slay me, yet I will trust him. Perseverance. Though everything was fallen apart all around him, my foot hath held his steps. His steps. Notice his steps. Not my steps. His steps. My foot has held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Even though things aren't going well, aren't going good, perseverance. Psalms 37:28. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Preserved by the Lord. Why? Because we're perseverant. Because we're pressing forward. Because we're trusting our God, and we know our God doesn't forsake his saints. Hallelujah. So then why stop? Why quit? Why give up? If God never forsakes us, why should we think about forsaking God? God's faithful, Brother Mike. Hallelujah. Appreciate that testimony tonight. Hallelujah. Because that faithfulness makes me want to persevere, persist, go on, walk with the Lord, keep trusting in our God. Psalms 121:8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. So if God's going to preserve me, and God's going to help me, and God's not going to leave me, and God's not going to forsake me, and God's got nothing but good for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why would I want to give up? Why would I want to quit? Why would I want to stop? The greatest thing that I could ever obtain is God's preservation as I just keep pressing forward, as I keep preserving. Hallelujah. As I persist on in my serving of the Lord. See, that word persist can also be used for good or bad. You know, because a lot of times, you know, people, you know, your kids, they persist. Can I have a drink? Can I have a pop? 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 They know after eight, can I have a pop? They got one. They persist. Hallelujah. Glory. One of these nights, you need to go ahead and surprise them. Say, nope, you ain't getting one tonight. Forget it. No matter how much you persist, the Lord has declared. Not the God of heaven, but the Lord of this house. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. You're going to think I'm terrible and I'm wretched because sometimes with my kids at home, sometimes I just made them do something because they didn't want to. Or I made them do the opposite of what they wanted to do. They wanted to stand up all the time. I said, all right, sit down. You need to sit down for 30 minutes. What was that? Teaching them to do something they didn't want to do. To deny themselves. Mm-hmm. It works. It helps. Don't work every time, but it helps. Hallelujah. You just make them do something on purpose to tell themselves no. You know, praise our God. That's just a freebie. That's not the message. Hebrews 10:38-39. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Perseverance. Perseverance. We're not of those that draw back. We're living by faith, and faith produces perseverance. 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Perseverance. Some left. Some departed. Some went back. You see, we are not of those that go back. We are of those that persevere. Persist. Go forward. Hallelujah. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Perseverance. Persisting. Pressing on. Hallelujah. Then are you my disciples indeed. Matthew 24:13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Wow. That right there tells me I must persevere. I must persevere. It's not an option. I must persevere. It's just the word of God presses me on. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. This is another scripture. I mean, okay, I've got to do this. This is not an option. This is what the Bible declares to me of what I need to do, what I need to pursue. And so I must persevere against all things that would take me away from the exaltation of Jesus Christ in my life. Making Jesus bigger in my life. Hallelujah. It's just when God is bigger and God is nearer and God is of a great reality in the heart, the mind, and the soul, there is nothing but praise. There is nothing but worship that wants to come from your heart, from your mouth, from your soul, from your mind. Hallelujah. Because He's so big. Hallelujah. And He's worthy. Glory to God. It's just the reality of God thriving in my heart, in my soul, in your heart, and in your soul makes you persevere. It makes you give Him praise and glory and honor. He deserves the glory. He deserves the honor. But if you got a question mark, why? Oh, something's missing. Hallelujah. In your walk with God and your relationship with God, why does He deserve all that? Why do we have to do that? Oh, wow. I don't have to praise God. I know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Hallelujah. And being conformed even unto His death. That brings me to work. Brings me to praise. That brings me to the reality of who He is and what He's worthy of. And no matter how much I give to Him, He's worthy of more. He's worthy of more. Hallelujah. I was thinking about it a while ago when we were singing that chorus and worshiping God. And I've been listening to the book of Revelation on my phone. And it's the dramatized part. And when it comes to all those places where those angels begin to worship and their 24 elders begin to worship. Glory, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. No. That's not how angels talk. That's not how heaven worships. Hallelujah. You see, that's the reality of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God brings heaven down to earth and pours it into us. Hallelujah. And the same thing those 24 elders are doing, the same thing those angels are doing, is the same thing you and I. Hallelujah. When the Spirit of God stirs our heart, stirs our soul, fills our soul, and we are lost in Him. And it's not our thoughts anymore, but the thoughts of a holy God. Of how He wants to be praised. Of how He wants to be worshipped. That's why I encouraged you a while ago. Don't come with a preconceived idea of what you think revival is going to be. Come to worship. Come to worship. Come to exalt your God. Make Him bigger in your heart and in your soul and in your mind. Hallelujah. And you will experience revival. There's no doubt about it. When God gets bigger, you get smaller, and you will accomplish great things for God. Woo, hallelujah to the Lamb. And you must be persevering. Sometimes it takes time. You want to know why it takes time? Because God's got to work on us to get us to that point. To get us to that place where we're not conscious and a hindrance to what God wants to do. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There is a place when your consciousness becomes His place and it's all in His control. And that's the hardest part for men to get to. We're always in control. Got news for you, men. It's time you let loose of the control to Him. you're talking. You're not talking. I'm talking, but you're listening. You're listening to a man who fought that battle. Had to be. How many use the the laughing gas, nitrous, when you go to the dentist if he's going to pull a tooth? Why not? Why don't you use it? Because it makes you feel like you're not in control. Oh, I hate it. Oh, I went to the dentist to get a wisdom tooth pulled. And they said, do you want the laughing gas? I said, well, what's it supposed to do? He said, well, it's going to make you feel better while we're doing this work on your teeth. I said, well, if it's going to make me feel better. Because this was the first time I'd actually really been to the dentist. And I actually was just a cavity, and they were going to drill the thing out. And I said, yeah, give me anything you got. I my blood pressure goes up 10 points just stepping into a doctor's office. That's just me. I'm sorry, but it just does. I go to the dentist. They check my blood pressure. They all walk away and wait 10 minutes. When they come back, it's down about 5. But it went up about 10. Just about me. It's that control thing, I guess. I just know I'm not going to be in control of that drill. Yeah. Yeah. So they put that gas on me. And I realized right away, I don't want this. You know. Because you lose your sense. Biggest hindrance to me getting filled with the Holy Ghost was losing. Oh, yeah. Woo. You see, that's where we got to get. We got to get to we're ready to lose control. Praise our God. Tell me this. What's it going to hurt to run around this church? It's your bones, maybe. What's it going to hurt to dance before God at the unction of the Spirit? Most people don't understand what's going on. What's going on is giving control. That's why some may run, some may dance, some may jump up and down. It's just whatever the Spirit of God is unctioning them to do. And I want to go ahead and put this right out here. It doesn't make anybody any more spiritual than anybody else. But what it does make is an individual letting God have control of their worship. And until God gets control of your worship, it's not spirit and truth worship. It's me worshiping how I want to. Yeah. I mean, you know, once again, it was a great miracle for this man to lift his hand in church. I was raised in a church. You didn't raise your hands. You didn't worship God. All you did is what they told you to do, and you read it out of a book. The prayer was read out of a book. The sermon was read out of a book. They got the sermons lined up for all year, Brother Cisneros. They just pick it up on this Sunday. This is a sermon for this Sunday. It's easy to put in the bulletin. We talk about it for 15 minutes, and we're done. So for me, to do that was a miracle. Because I began to realize that's what God wanted. Lift up holy hands unto the Lord. Clap. God. I mean, it's just part of the worship of the tabernacle. It's part of the worship of the temple. Drums, horns, piano. Why do you think we have those in the church? Because we like them? No, because that's what God said he wanted to be worshipped with. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God. Why do we sing? Because that's what God said he wanted us to do, to worship him. Sing. How loud do we sing? As loud as you can. With all your heart. With all your soul. With all your soul. Glory. Not just a small portion of it. All. Why is it we as human beings like to put how much is supposed to be done? Don't misunderstand me. I believe in an order of service. But I also believe in the Holy Ghost having the order rearranged. Hallelujah. I believe in prayer, seeking God. I seek God for every message that I preach. I ask God for direction, every message that I preach. But you know, I didn't get to preach this on Sunday morning because we went a different direction. Praise God. So I'm getting to preach it tonight. Perseverance, pressing on. Do not be discouraged. Hallelujah. But be strong. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So your book, the book of life, can have names removed. I was visiting with a friend many, many years ago that I'd went to school with, and he was excited. They were having Bible study at his church over the book of Revelation. I said, oh, that's awesome. That's great. I hadn't seen him in several years at this point, and this has been several years ago. I said, really? And I said, what's your pastor preach about Revelations 3 and 5? He's a Baptist boy. I said, what did he preach about Revelation 3 and 5? I don't remember. I think he just skipped over that one. I said, I think he probably did. He said, well, why? What's Revelation 3 and 5? I said, well, let's open the Bible here. Let's look at it. Whoa. I've never seen that before. I said, well, it's always been there. If you're not overcoming, you can have your name blotted out. Well, I'm going to have talked with him about that. I said, good luck. Good luck. I said, I'm sure he's got an answer for you. But I said, you read it. You pray about it. You realize what God's Word says. And you make your own decision. You can backslide because you're a free moral agent. You do whatever you want to do. Bible says, do what you want to do in your youth. Just know judgment's coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Overcoming takes perseverance. Hallelujah. Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You see, if we take that as our Lord and our Savior telling us, I'm coming quickly, so you don't have time to play around. You don't have time to be foolish. You don't have time to folly in the world. What you have time for is to get ready and persevere, because I'm coming quickly. Woo! Hallelujah. You see, because if it evades us and we think it's far off, because once again, the denomination that I got saved from, they talk about the Lord's coming, but they said, oh, it's thousands and thousands of years away. Kind of like, evolutionists, millions and millions and millions of years ago. Nope, it's just 6,000 years ago, and he's about to return. Hallelujah. The time is at hand, and it's time to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And to be ready for the coming of the Lord, then you will be ready to win people to Jesus. You see, if you're not really concerned about the coming of the Lord, you tend to lose the concern for souls. Yeah. If singing about the coming of the Lord and the rapture doesn't excite your soul, But it just produces something in your mind. Yeah, that'll happen one day. You see, perseverance has been all through the ages. You and I have an English Bible in our possession largely because of a man named John Wycliffe. He was known not only as a builder producing the first English text of the Bible, but also as a fighter. What a leader. When he died, his enemies burned him at the stake, took the ashes of his body, sprinkled them over the Thames River in London. Forever we're rid of Wycliffe, his enemies must have thought, but they were wrong. The product of his labors, the English Bible, is with us today because he did more than fight. He stayed at the task. Perseverance. Wow. I saw something just this evening, and I'm not sure who put it on there. But it said, away with the man cave and back to the study. Away from self-indulgence and entertainment and back to intelligence and study of God's word. Hallelujah. Wow. That's revival. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The words of the Apostle Paul about himself. Whoa. If that's how he's going to have to live, that's how I'm going to have to live. And the reason he lived that way is because Jesus Christ lived that way. Hallelujah. That's why he could say, follow me as I follow Christ. Hallelujah. Because he realized that it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about running the race. It's all about perseverance. Pressing towards the mark, the prize, the high calling of our God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see, we're all running this race. We're all on this journey. We're all part of the body of Christ. Each one of us in our part, in our position, in our growth level. Hallelujah. We're one together in Jesus Christ. But we must persevere against all opposition, against all attacks of the enemy upon our mind. That's where he comes first. He has come to infiltrate our mind, our thinking, what were our thought patterns. If that doesn't work, he'll come a different direction. He'll come through some other person trying to discourage or trying to bring down or trying to bring doubt or unbelief, talking bad about this one, talking bad about that one, trying to pull people down. If that don't work, he'll bring sickness. That's why the Bible says we've got to be wise to the tactics of the enemy. Number one, he's going to attack the mind first. If he gets a goal, if he gets it, gets a hold of it, and gets our thought pattern messed up, well, he's got us. He's got us. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Whoa, that's why he attacks there. Hallelujah. But if he can't win there, he'll move on, try to bring somebody else. Yeah. You know, if you get on a wagon, devil's always got someone else on that wagon too, and they'll just, whoa. Of course, that wagon's always going the wrong way. Woo! You know what I'm talking about. Perseverance. And here we're closing tonight with this story. The story is told of a British soldier in the First World War. He lost his heart for the battle and deserted. Trying to reach the coast to find a boat to go to England that night, he ended up wandering in the pitch black night, hopelessly lost. In the darkness, he came across what he thought was a signpost. It was so dark that he began to climb the post so he could read it. As he reached the top of the pole, he struck a match to see and found himself looking squarely into the face of Jesus Christ. He realized that rather than running into a signpost, he had climbed a roadside crucifix. Then he remembered the one who had died for him, who had endured, who had never turned back. The next morning, the soldier was back in the trenches. As a runner, when you get tired, afraid, and discouraged, the best way I know to get your second wind is to strike a match in the darkness and to look on the face of Jesus Christ. Strike a match. When you feel like giving up, strike a match. Look full in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and remember what he has done for you. Remember how he has conquered for you. You see, everybody needs encouragement from time to time. Everybody needs stirred up from time to time. Hallelujah. Not everybody is persevering all the time. Hallelujah. That's why we have church. That's why we preach the word. That's why we have Sunday school. Hallelujah. That's why we testify. Praise God. You see, because we are human beings, and human beings sometimes require being lifted up. Hallelujah. Being propped up. Encouraged, being lifted up. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. See, it's not just for the world. You see, I was in school once, believe it or not, just a few years ago. But I was chose to be one of the team captains. And the coach pulled me aside. There was three of us. And he pulled us aside. He said, now guys, he said, you've been chosen to be captains. He said, that means you're the leaders. This team is going to operate on you. Whatever kind of leader you lead this team to, that's what they will be. Didn't think that much about it then, because I was into it. I mean, you know, that just all my life consisted of at 18 years old, senior in high school, is who I could knock down. I mean, who I could outdo. And I took that as an honor. And so I just continually didn't really tell them what they needed to do, but I showed them what they needed to do. I played all my heart. Wherever that ball was, that's where I was. When I played that game, I knew where that ball was all the time. Whether it was offense, whether it was defense, I knew where it was at, and I was right there on it. Matter of fact, my sophomore year in high school, had a new coach, knew nobody. I got injured. First time in my entire life I never started in football. Almost killed me. But I got hurt. He knew nobody. Finally, my injuries is both of my tendons in both of my legs. I all I could do during football practice is walk around, barely. I mean, they called me Duck. That's all I could. I could just waddle. But it finally got better, and so no varsity, but they let me play junior varsity. It's great. I'm playing. I was glad my feet were better, my ankles were better. I'm playing. But I'm standing on the sidelines. Anybody that knows me, that's not where I like to be. I'm standing on sidelines. I'm cheering the guys on. You know, I'm just a sophomore. And guy gets hurt out there on the field, a defensive end. Never played it in my entire life. And coach, he didn't know anybody. He says, we need somebody to go out there. Who are we going to send out there? And the assistant's coach knew. He said, oh, Pepper, send Pepper out there. I said, coach, I've never played. Send him out there. You know, I was always on the line. I was either a tackle, guard. I've never played defensive end before. So I'm way over here. Lined up defensive end, not really knowing what I'm supposed to do, but I know wherever that ball goes, that's where I'm going. So here they go. They're sweeping around. They're sweeping around the whole other side of the field. I don't know how wide a football field is, but we're all the way on this side. They're sweeping all the way to the other side. And then the announcer announces it. Number 64, Pepper gets the tackle. That coach looked at that other coach and said, who is that? That's Doug Pepper. He said, do we have a position open for him? I'm on the other side of the field, not even knowing what to do. But I saw where that ball was going, and that's where I went, and I tackled the guy. And that was what I thought I was supposed to do. And that got me a starting position at right guard. Now, I'm not saying that to lift me up. What I'm saying is if you show the people how, they'll follow. If you show the family how, they'll follow. Hallelujah. It's not just in the natural realm. It's in the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. Praise God. You get in liberty in the Spirit of God, and your family will be in liberty in the Spirit of God. You quench or grieve the Spirit of God, and your family will squelch and squinch and grieve the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. But if you become a worshiper in spirit and in truth and magnify His name, your children will become a worshiper of God. Hallelujah. You see, they're looking for the real thing. Just like so many out in the world are looking for the real thing. Oh, I wish I had a dollar for every time somebody shared a story of somebody that got hurt in church. And they're not serving God now because they got hurt in church. And really, really what grieves my heart and then sometimes also frustrates me, it was by a pastor who hurt him on purpose. Let me rephrase that. It wasn't a pastor. It was a hireling. A hireling. Because pastors don't do those things. Not on purpose. I understand pastors make mistakes just like everybody else because we're just human. But a pastor will do all he can do to ask forgiveness for his mistake and do all he can do to make it right. A pastor will. But a hireling will just puff up in pride and say, well, that's just their problem. I know that because there's times I've acted like a hireling myself. But that don't get anything done. It's when you humble your heart and you realize it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus told the story. The shepherd left the 99 and went after that one. Brought him back. Praise God. Hallelujah. Perseverance. 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 You got a Bible because a man was perseverant. Perseverant to do the will of God. Whew. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh my, can you imagine the discouragement in John Wycliffe's life when everybody wanted to kill him, do away with him, thought he was a heretic, All he wanted to do was put Bibles in the hands of plowboys. Woo! Hallelujah. That was me. I was a plowboy. I was a farm boy. Oh, and he wanted to put a Bible in my hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm so glad that God put a Bible in my hand. Hallelujah. And I can read God's Word. Glory to our God. Perseverance, church. It's going to take perseverance. Anytime you start pressing towards that new ground, that new territory, you're going to face opposition. You're going to face hindrances. You're going to face things that make it more difficult than it really ought to be. Persevere. Persevere. Amen. Show your family how it's done. Show your siblings how it's done. Woo. Hallelujah. Children, this is not just an adult message. Persevere. Persevere. Show other children how they're supposed to act. Do what's right. Help your siblings. Siblings can be a good thing, or they can be a terrible thing. Oh, I don't know if my sister is watching or not, but I had a little sister. I sure didn't show her what was right when we were siblings in little. No, I didn't. You know, little sisters are rough. I'm sorry, Sister Lydia, but, you know, my sister didn't beat up on me. She knew better. Praise God. I've never been a little guy. I'm not tall this way, but I've never been a little guy. But sisters are something else. Older brothers, they're bigger than you are, but it doesn't stop you. But now I'm saved. I try my best to show them the way. It takes time. It's taken a long time. But it's happening. It's happening, brother. It's happening to your siblings. It's happening to your siblings, your parents. It's happening. I can remember, I got to close this, but I'm just trying to encourage you, church, perseverance. I was talking with Sister Donna the other night. No, it was a different sister. Hardest thing in my entire life was when my mother got mad at me and told me to get out of her house. And the only reason she did that is because I told her I got saved. Never seen my mom so mad at me in my entire life. I mean, she thrashed me good when I was a kid, but I'd never seen her like that. I was 23 years old, and my mom's screaming at me, "Get out of my house. I don't want you here anymore." I had to persevere. I had to press on. Even if my mom don't want me anymore, I'm still serving Jesus. I'm still walking with God. You see, God took all that and turned it around. I'll never forget 502 East 4th. Mom's sitting right over here to the right in church on a Thursday night. Before Alzheimer's took its toll. Before cancer took its toll. Sitting there on that chair. Head bowed. And that hand lifted up. I knew right then she'd made a step. Found out years later, after she's got so mad at me, that she had left a Pentecostal holiness background to go to the Lutheran church so she would be with her husband and a family together. God remembered that. And God brought her back to what she knew. I just want to let you know, there have been those in that Lutheran church that have went past that doctrine. I remember standing at the bed of an older gentleman, and he was not doing well, He was the caretaker of the church, the Lutheran church over there, out there in the country. Been the caretaker almost all of his life. I mean, most of the stuff that was fixed or so wonderfully carved out of wood, he did. I remember standing by his bed because I just didn't know whether he was saved or not. And I'd done some work for him because they were older and he couldn't do it anymore. And I'd done some repairs on their home for him. And, you know, when I was preaching revivals and needed work here and there. But I went to his bedside and I said, John, I said, how's it between you and Jesus? Out of his eyes. And he said, my relationship with Jesus has been wonderful all my life. He knew his Lord. He knew his Savior. In spite of the opportunity that it was so easy not to. So I believe there's another one that I'll be seeing in heaven when I get there. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, there's no boundaries for God. And you see that when God sees a hungry heart, woo, he begins to move. That's why I'm saved. That's why I'm here tonight. Because even as a little boy, Michael's age, standing in those Christmas programs, singing about Jesus Christ, I could feel the Spirit of God begin to move on me. Had no earthly idea that's what it was. But there was just a drawing upon my heart and upon my soul as I began to quote those verses, talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. And you know, that kept me out of a lot of trouble. In my teenage years, my young adult years, because I knew God was real. I just hadn't met him yet. But now since I met him, perseverance is the motto I grab a hold of. Perseverance. Stand with me if you would. Perseverance. You got to keep pressing. Wow. Oh my. I could tell you story after story after story of things that transpired in my life trying to discourage me and keep me from what God was wanting to do in my life. I can take you to times when the enemy literally tried to take my life and God intervened. Wow. I've been through some very, very difficult things. Very, very hard things. But perseverance kept me going. The Spirit of God bringing perseverance. Don't know how it's going to happen. Don't know how it's going to work. Just got to keep going. Just got to keep going. Doesn't seem like anybody's coming. Doesn't seem like we're really affecting anybody. Just still got to keep going. Just got to keep going. Just got to keep going. Doesn't seem like there's any results at all. Just got to keep going. Got to keep going. Got to keep going. Perseverance. Because then as you keep going, as time goes by, then you begin to see that your consistency has been seen. It's been noticed all along. But there's just so much garbage out there. But then time tells the story, and perseverance pays off. And God begins to move. Just like he said he would do. Let's lift our hands. Let's give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God of heaven, Lord, stir our hearts. Stir our souls, God. Lord, let perseverance prevail in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. Lord, that we might see, God, that which you have promised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Faithful. Faithful is the Lord. Oh, God, I praise you. I thank you for these testimonies tonight. Showing forth your faithfulness. Thank you, God, for prayers that you have answered just recently. Oh, God, and I thank you, Lord, that all the prayers of your saints are bottled up. Oh, they're remembered forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They're not just a passing word in your ears, oh God, but they are bottled up and they are remembered forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let it rain on me. Let There's a dawn arising on a brand new day. There's a strong wind stirring across the ancient graves. And there's a voice that's calling, will you be here?